The following little script is based on events from real life. Soldier. Yes, Master Sergeant. You and your two fellow soldiers will take this government vehicle and report to this address immediately. Yes, Master Sergeant, but this is your home address. Did I ask for any questions, Lieutenant? Now you will report there and move some boxes of equipment and then return that vehicle to base. Is that understood? Your personal stuff, Master Sergeant? Did I say I wanted to get into a discussion, Lieutenant? Do it. Understood? Yes, Master Sergeant. This scene also taken from real events. Once more. When a government safety inspector kept a referring repair business to his brother-in-law, rig operators called the FBI for each referral. It turned out the brother-in-law was treating the inspector to an evening with a lady of, quote, dubious morals. At trial for corruption in government contracting, the inspector had a curious defense. He claimed that he had not received, quote, a thing of value in return for the referral. The judge didn't buy it, and neither did his wife. These are just some of the tasty entries in the Department of Defense's Encyclopedia of Ethical Failures, stories of how government employees came up with clever schemes to pull one over on Uncle Sam, and they all ended badly, like the Air Force and Marine generals and a Navy admiral who together billed the government $3,000 for a stay in Tokyo to play golf after their official work ended, $3,000 for some priceless networking on the golf course. Gordon Lubold is a national security reporter for Foreign Policy. He delightfully stumbled on this little document meant to help DOD employees resist temptation. Gordon, welcome.
How are you?
An encyclopedia of ethical failures. I mean, it sounds like something straight out of a prayer book.
I was certainly laughing to myself when I stumbled upon it. It is, just as you describe, a big catalog of all the best kind of things that they don't want you to try at home. Not every wrong piece of wrongdoing, but clearly a bunch of the ones that the military, in particular, the kind of Office of Ethical Conduct, which is part of the Pentagon's General Counsel's office, is using to kind of highlight what people shouldn't do. And this comes, this has been compiled and updated now for some years, but this comes at a time when there's a lot of concern about wrongdoing, especially among senior officers in the military.
And, this is something that really comes out of the organized process and the Inspector General, which actually takes a look at all kinds of things. There is a very organized kind of oversight of all kinds of government programs. What they're trying to do is take some of that stuff that might just get lost in legalese and trying to present it in a form that individual managers can use tangibly to make sure that their employees know that they're being watched.
Yeah, I mean, that was what struck me the most about when I first saw this, was that it's unlike most other documents that is produced by the Pentagon. This seemed to be channeling Al Gore, who famously pushed for English, proper English use in government documents. This one is breezy and, clearly meant to draw attention about wrongdoing within, its own department.
Although you say it was channeling Al Gore, I mean, Al Gore was not, known as a real chucklehead. I mean, this stuff is kind of funny. I mean, the way the style is beyond just vernacular English. I mean, it's really sort of entertaining to read.
Sure. They have this one is a swing and the one that you mentioned about the golf outing, a swing and a miss for senior officers using government funds on golf outing. I mean, you just don't see this stuff. And honestly, us journos who cover the military try to translate what we cover into this kind of language. And in this case, we didn't have to do that.
No, just quote it as is. Do you know who the author is? Is it some really interesting character sitting in some office somewhere in the D ring?
Yeah, there's some attorneys who work for the general counsel's office who have put this together and updated it. I think that they've had a little bit of help from public affairs officers who are kind of their outreach piece, but I think really it's just these cases when you boil them down to what the wrongdoing is, they kind of just, the stories tell themselves. So it's not hard to kind of put them in a way that is interesting.
I'm surprised that, like William Morris in some story development office hasn't got a hold of this out in Hollywood. I love the one, the DEA agent who was dating the narc on a drug case. I mean,
That was straight out of Breaking Bad, it seemed. The other one, the one that I was my personal favorite, was the Navy commander who faked his own death after meeting a woman with whom he was not married, had an affair with her, and then faked his death by writing some kind of an anonymous email to her saying that he was no longer alive, when he and his family moved away and moved to a house in Connecticut to a new assignment. She ultimately tracked him down.
So this is the amazing part. I mean, I read that story. I had to read it three times before I understood what the heck was going on. He faked his death just to her, not to anyone else. I mean, he was still, as far as the Navy was concerned, alive and well.
Of course. Apparently he met her on a dating site. They had several months of an affair, and then he got tired of it. Obviously, this is unbeknownst, as far as I can see, unbeknownst to his family or to anybody else. And so he put together some kind of an email that allegedly from somebody else, who I guess it would have seemed legitimate, and told her that he was no longer alive.
And what was the reprimand for this?
He was demoted, I believe, and probably got what's called a letter of reprimand, you know, which is a slap on the wrist. It usually means that, you know, your career is not going to continue.
Now, what do you make of the encyclopedia quality of this? Are they trying to assemble a words to live by sort of notion here? Is this a sense of the morality within DOD? Is this just an HR exercise? And do you get any sense that this sort of stuff is rising in the Pentagon?
Right. So I think that the military often refers to these as the 10 percenters, the kind of bad apples that you're always going to encounter. And those of us who cover the military know that, you know, the military in many ways is a reflection of society. And so there's no real surprises there. The cases are awesome to read about because they're just so interesting. I think the darker fear in all this is that, as I say, that there are some more problems among senior officers, some of which are cataloged here, some of which are coming out in newspaper coverage even in the last few days. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, spoke with the Wall Street Journal in an article that appeared this morning about the need to kind of get back at all this stuff and reinstill in the senior officers, who are, by the way, the people who are supposed to be making sure that everybody else is
right.
That they themselves are focused on what they're supposed to be doing. And the interesting thing here is that, you know, the wars are ending. You know, the reverence for the military has never been higher, really, on some level. But I think the fear is that you start to see some of these fissures, some of these cracks, and the perception of the military and of senior officers in particular, maybe among the public, could begin to change.
Well, you know, I'm imagining a kind of gold-bound, beautiful sort of 27-volume encyclopedia of ethical lapses, which is sort of sad and amazing at the same time. Gordon Leubold, national security reporter for Foreign Policy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And we'd love to know if you've seen any ethical lapses in your own workplace. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send a tweet at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.